Just so that, shut up and listen. I can only say that because of my beard and my age. Firstly, that all the five aggregates are always there in the tradition as our task of liberation. They're always there together, one after another after another. So, for example, in the Heart Sutta, we all know form is emptiness, emptiness is form, but the next sentence is feeling is emptiness, feeling is form. Perception is emptiness, perception is form. Just so that you know, they all come together. But we don't, it's for us to lefarek the sandcastle, to take it to pieces, we work with one at a time. Because that's already taking it to pieces. If we can separate consciousness from form, we're already taking to pieces this package. Just like in Vipassana practice, we take to pieces an emotion, and then it's less powerful, and we can look at it, and we can be a master of the emotion. Anger, when we don't take it to pieces, it's too big for us, and we're just angry. But if we can look at anger just in the body, for example, or just in the thought as an angry thought, or just in the heart, or just in the pain of it, we already cut it down, and we can actually be bigger than the anger. The problem with the anger is all the pieces together, the components, in one gush, then it's too big for us. Same with the aggregates. We look at one after another after another. Now we're now talking about form, the first, and the form, fundamentally, closest to us, the form is the body. Body is the closest form to us, and the one where the clinging is most obvious. And so the fundamental practice, which we all know already, but we didn't put it into this kind of conceptual, theoretical, traditional Dharma context, is practicing with the body as an experience of not me, not mine. The body is not mine. Body is form, which I apply ownership to it, and I assume ownership of it. In ignorance, it becomes automatic, I own my body. Just like you say, automatic process, I own my body, we can't think of any other way. This ownership process and the automatic nature of it creates automatic living, kind of an automatic life, which is suffering. The body changes, for example, and we suffer because we don't want to age, we don't want to be sick, we don't want to have grey hairs, we don't, and etc. So just small example. So the practice is what the practice the different ways of practicing, but one of them is watching the origin, the presence, and the disappearing of form. And we do this in Vipassana. We watch the origin, the presence, the appearance, and the disappearance, for example, of a breath, or of a sensation, or in other words, change. And we need to do it again and again and again, and realizing that everything is changing, deeply, deeply realizing the truth of anicca, that this body is itself a changing field that is not solid and stable. And there are states of subtle meditation practice. One, Goenka, we're talking about Bhanga, which is coming from the Burmese. One of the stages in which you're just feeling the disappearance of the body, and it just becomes scattered sensations of
vibration,
yeah, molecules kind of appearing, disappearing, and there isn't actually a form of a body at all. It's just disintegration. You just feel the disintegration into like molecules, and but that needs a lot of concentration. But our practice can be that we watch the rising and the disappearing, and the other aspects of it is The mind of the witness, that if we witness the body, in a way we are withdrawing from the body, witnessing the body, and then we're not identified with it. We are watching, like as if from a bird, watching the body doing its thing. So watching the hands moving. We are looking at this hands, these strange, weird objects that somehow manage to do things, and they are so strange, and it's so funny. And who owns these hands that do these things, and what are they actually that can manage to do these strange things, you know? So it's like, in a sense, being a witness is coming back out of the automatic life and watching the body in its changing, living, mysterious, passing nature. So these are, we can also watch the way the self kind of lands on the body, owns it, and sometimes doesn't. And many of you would have very simply experiences, for example, with breathing, where you think, well, it's not so clear who owns this experience. Who is the master? The breath or me? That question itself is exactly the question that opens the mystery here of ownership. Who is in control? You talk about control. Who's in control? If you ask that question enough, you are bound to get to this place that in the end is no controller. That the controller is just a habit, is attachment, is a habit that is needed, that the self thinks it needs to keep going. But so it's I am not the body, right? It's the it's not, unfortunately, easy after the habit of from birth of ownership and control and feeling the center of everything that happens and feeling that there definitely is a self that runs the show, the kazema faked, and we're so used to it, it is I wish it was just easy. We can say I am not the body and we'd all go, ah, of course. But we need a Buddha to sit here and do that for us. I remember my 7-year-old daughter standing in front of a mirror, and she said to me, Dad, I'm standing in front of this mirror, I see hands, I see legs, I see hair, I see a funny little nose like a button, I see eyes looking back at me, I don't see me. I'm just 7 years old. And so I think that we actually, at the same time, let's say that, or if we look, that we all have some kind of intuitions about this. I would almost say initiation. Those of you who maybe have experience with psychedelic substances might see that is initiation, or having a Zen master go puck, or another kind of initiation. They're all good enough.
Psychotic states.
Or psychotic states sometimes, or you know, like you say, Karen, of waking up in the morning and not knowing who you are. Mm-hmm. And so we do have, shall we say, a thin line to this truth of it's not who owns the show, who runs the show. And the answer is the realization. Who runs the show? The question is more important than any easy answer, because better to not to say an answer. But this sense of at the background, who runs the show, is with us. Otherwise, the identification between me and my body, I own my body, would be so strong that we'd have no possible room. We wouldn't even be able to change. Our life wouldn't change our life, wouldn't change our views, wouldn't change our concepts, because there'd be such identification that everything's frozen. The dynamic nature of our own realization, I'm like this today, I'm like that tomorrow, now I'm up, now I'm down, yes I know, now I'm asleep, now I'm awake, we have it in the background, so we know that this is not a frozen situation called owning the body. And if it's dynamic, then the self passing, changing, it lands on the body and it goes away again. It lands on, and when we sleep, it's gone. So let's just practice with that for a few minutes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Okay. Yeah, a little bit. Just sitting, present, coming into presence. Sense of arriving. Just let go. No need for anything. Just sense of surrender. Let go. Begin to connect with bodily life, the sensations, tushot, that run through the body. Sense of touch, like electricity. The breath coming and going. the stomach rising and falling. Just take one part of this, the global experience, such as the rising and falling of the stomach. And just ask ourselves, just let the question float, am I doing it? Is this rising of my stomach me? Is the falling of the stomach me? Am I doing this? It's not a conceptual question, it's a experiential. It's just a sense of questioning and openness to whatever arises. Do it with the hands. Feel the sensation in the hands as the living flow of prana, of energy, of touch, of life. Just flowing along the fingers. Fingers touching each other, sense of activity. Am I doing this? Am I in there? Am I in control? Where am I? And now just take your right hand, lift it up, and begin to move it very slowly. Just move it slowly. Just move the hand in some way, very slowly. So this is meditation in movement. Feel the change. The hand is never in the same place, and because of the sensations are changing, it's never the same hand. Is this movement me? Is this movement something? Am I in absolute control of everything that is happening now? And take a breath. do another practice. And it's another traditional practice that is very much about form. And that is, the form is constantly related to the elements. Elements of earth, air, fire, water. And in the tradition, there is a great deal of emphasis on earth, air, fire, water. It somehow never gets to us in the Vipassana community. We don't do it so much, and we should do it much more. Sometimes we do it, but very rarely, and I think it's interesting, and we'll try and just briefly practice it, but in the monastic tradition they practice it a lot. It's basically an understanding that this body is put together by elements. The form is made up of earth, air, fire, water. It's in the Satipatthana Sutta, which is the iconic sutta for our practice, and it's right there. And so it's just a sense, and I won't say more about it now, we're going to just do it, or try it. A sense that if we understand, for example, the earthiness in the body, the substance quality in the body, then it is not special to the body. Substance is in the world. So there is no boundary between the earth in the body and the earth in the earth. They're the same. And therefore, where's the body? Same with fire, same with water. And it's specifically a practice that's about ownership of form, breaking the illusion of the ownership of form, especially the body. So I think we can practice this by lying down. I think it might be nice also for all of us to take a few minutes to lie. And it's good to be connected to the earth element. More connected to the earth element by lying. So, just to put it in context, I want to read to you the piece in the Satipatthana Sutta where it talks about working with the elements, a short piece that just gives a sense of it. He says, again, a meditator reviews this same body, however it is placed, however it is, in whatever shape or movement it is, as consisting of elements. And he reviews it like this. In this body, there is the earth element, the water element, the fire element, and the air element. It's like, just as a butcher had killed a cow and was seated at the crossroads and cut it into pieces. So a meditator reviews this same body as consisting of elements. In this body there is the earth element, the water element, the fire element, and the air element. In this way he practices, contemplating the body as a body, inside, outside, and both inside and outside, and he stays independent, not clinging to anything in the world. And this is the way a meditator stays contemplating the body as a body. So we start with the earth element. Feeling the weight of the body. Earth is weight. Heavy. It's heavier in some places, like in the Agan, has more weight. Maybe the back of the head, where the body presses on the ground, we feel it more, the weight. Just go to those places. And the mass, the weight, if you like, gravitatia, showing us earth, physicality, substance, material, choma, chomriyot shel haguf. Mass. We also feel our bones inside, our teeth, the skull, the substance of the body, flesh, has mass. And we experience it as touching the ground, and the ground is exactly the same, mass, physicality, choma, the two are the same. Can we say we own this physicality? Choma. Is it ours? Does it belong to me? The choma in the body, the choma in the ground. Same. Now pay attention to the breathing. There is air going in, filling the lungs, filling the stomach, and going out. Air coming in through the nose, air in the mouth, space. Lungs full of air and going out. inside the body and the space, spaces also in the stomach, mouth, ears. And where is the difference between the spaces in the body and the spaces outside? Where is the difference between the air in the body and the air outside? The two are the same air element. When, how can it be ours? Belong to me. Does it belong to me as soon as it comes into my lungs? Keep coming back to the experience of air element and the question, do I own it? Is it mine? Is it me? Or is it part of the universe which I cannot possibly own? Feel how changeable the air element is in us. It's cold, it's warm, it moves. Think of wind, storms, breeze, change. Can I own this changing air element? And fire. Fire element. Feel the heat of the body, where it's hot, where it's cool. The differences between maybe under the clothes, and where we are exposed to the air, the face, hands. Feel the temperature of the body. If we're too hot, too cold. Feel the metabolism. The way the food is burnt, making heat, keeping us alive, burning inside. Being aware of the heat outside, the sun warming the earth, the fire. And the craziness of fire burning up volcanoes. This fire inside and fire outside, they're the same. So can I own it? Is it mine? Is it me? And water. Feel the water in the mouth. Feel the water in the stomach going round. Feel the heart pumping the blood. Circulating through all the body. Feel the softness and the flow of water in the body, the juice. Just a sense of wetness, fluidity, retivut, nozlim, rock, dam. מיצים של הבטן, של הכיס מרה, ואותו מים בנהר, בגשם, שיוצא מברז, של הים, גלים, צונמי, כל הזמן זז, נוזל, flowing, zorem. Can we own this element? Can we say it is mine, belongs to me? So let's take a breath. Begin to move our hands, our feet. So I'd like to suggest some homework for next week. I'd like you to put on your frigidaire, or the entrance to your house, or on a big, big sign above your bed, I am not my body. Okay, just the sign. On the frigidaire, or somewhere like that, because we all go to the frigidaire most of the time. I am not my body. Or on your computer screensaver, okay? And during the week, do two things. One is see what it does to us. Because, as I mentioned, this is more of a contemplation. You can't get there with concept. So, I can say to you 1,000 times, I am not my body, but you can repeat it like a tuki, and it does. But to contemplate, what does it do to us? What does it do? Call it a vibration that disturbs. I am not my body. Not a fact. It's not a truth that someone's trying to sell you. It's a koan, if you like. A question. I am not my body. Put it there, and during the week, keep as much as you can. Just let that question come. So when you wake up in the morning, what happens? When you go to sleep, when you walk, is I am walking? My body is walking? What is walking? The pipi, the shaten, the shetin, nashtin. So when it goes out, it's still my body, but then why do I put it down the toilet and throw it away? Because before it went in the toilet, I owned my pipi, surely. It was in my bladder. So when did it stop being me? This pee-pee coming out of me that I don't want anymore once it's out, but I want it when it's in. Contemplate. I am not my body. You go to the hairdresser, get a hair cut off. Now it's me. But when it's down there, I don't care if the hairdresser throws in the rubbish bin. Me in the rubbish bin. Or not. Keep this
food.
Oof. Keep this as a mantra and see what it does. Question it. And I'd really be happy if all of you could write something. Now, next week, no, it won't be next week, it'll be
Friday.
It'll be in 10 days, whatever. I'd be happy if a few of you would be ready to read what you wrote. Contemplation. Read what you wrote. Write a page, whatever. Don't have to write a book on it. You can write a book on it if you like. It's worth writing a book on. Actually, in a way, most books are about the same thing. If you kind of look at any good writer, he'll be writing around that in some way. Feelings, not mine, not mine, yes, mine. So, have that as a slogan for the week, and write something when you feel inspired, and keep contemplating, keep that sentence, that koan, I am not my body, and really question what it does to us.
So that's pretty good.